We begin the current daven, Septus Nida Daf Mem Aleph. We begin 4 lines down at the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daven, and that is, we had introduced in our Machlekes, in the opening mission of our Perek, Machlekes Reb Shimon Rabbanan, regarding a Yetzer Daifen. If a woman gives birth through cesarean section, through the abdominal wall, not through the regular way that a baby is born through the vaginal canal, if that's considered a Yeledis, the laws of Tumah, and Tahara, of a Chiev of a carbon, Reb Shimon says it's considered a Leid, the Rabban said it's not. And that's Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon, although he says regarding the laws of Yeledis that it's considered birth, regarding the laws of Kadshim, he agrees regarding a carbon that's not going to have a sanctity, a physical sanctity of a carbon. It's considered like a pre-blemished animal that's sanctified. It's only going to have Kedushas Dam, not Kedushas Agav. And the reason is because we learn that from the laws of Bechar. Just like Bechar has to be Peter Rechem, so too laws of Kadshim, because both of them say the context of Leda. And that the Gemara wanted to bring a right Rabbi Yechanan from Rabbi Shimon's own opinion, which he says regarding the laws of Psulim, Imalu, if it's Yerdu or not. Which it's in his Machlekes with Rabbi Yehuda. So he says that a certain category, okay, even though the apostle im olu is still going to be lo yerdu, but there are those that are exempted that even if they're olu, they're going to be yerdu, they're going to come down. One of them was that of Yetzer Daifen. Now, why is that category from those that are taken down even if they were brought up? The reason is because they didn't have psulim b'kodesh. They're already pre-validated, they're pre-invalidated already beforehand. They're already problematic beforehand. Now, so you see that Yetzer Daifen, and seemingly what is it talking about? It's talking about Yetzer Daifen of Kaddishim, of Karbanas, that we see that it doesn't have a Kedusha as a Guf, because if it did, then it would be Psulim HaKadosh, it became invalidated after it was already sanctified. Those are those that are Lo Yerdu. You see that it's Yerdu, so obviously you see that Yetzer Daifen, if it's born through Caesarean, it's not even Negei, it doesn't even start, it's already invalidated before it's starting, because it doesn't have a Kedusha as a Guf. So therefore, that's a right. Rabbi Yechanan wanted to say that even in Rabbi Shimon, he himself agrees in the laws of Kaddishim. To which on that, the Gemara continues, says, Amr Avuna Bered Rav Nasan. He says, no, it's not a right, Rabbi Yechanan. Yetzer Daifen de Bechar. What halacha is he saying that it's not having any sanctity whatsoever, but it's like chulin? Not that of Kaddishim. Kaddishim, maybe I would say, is the same thing as the Yeledis, that it's a Yetzer Daifen, it's a valid carbon. Here we were saying that it's like chulin, it doesn't have any sanctity at all, you put on the top mizbech, his love, take it down, is by a firstborn animal. There the halacha is that it has to be Peterechim, the Pasuk says it. That's where it's saying it's Gemilah Chulin, but it's no right to Kaddishim. On that responds the Gemara, Bechayr, you tell me the Yetzer Daifen that we're excluding is regarding the firstborn animal? Mi Peterechim Nafka. That we know from the pasuk that says it's the one that opened up the uterus, opened up the area of the rechem, which that's where it's not sanctified at all. So therefore, because it's chulin, why would I need, as the Gemara had brought, we know it from Zayis, Reb Shimon brings that, Zayis tells us, although he's saying psulin im olu lo yerdu, but Zayis says these, it's excluding certain ones, as he explained why some yes, some not, are going to be excluded. Obviously, im olu yerdu. It's chulin. You don't need zayis to exclude it. So therefore, obviously, it cannot be bechar. So in that responds the Gemara. So elamai. So what are you saying? Okay. So you want to bring a raya like Rabbi Yechanan did that the Rabbi Shimon is talking about to kaddishim. Bechar you don't need. You don't need a pasuk. You know from Peterechim. Of course, it's not sanctum. Of course, im olu yerdu. So you're saying it's by a carbon. But me imay nafka. But that's what we learned in the previous stuff. That's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. Rabbi Shimon says he agrees by Yetzer Daifen by kaddishim because he learns that from bechar. Because there it says imay. Here it says imay. So I know that by kaddishim is also not sanctified. So why do I? So it's chulin. So why do we need zayis to exclude even kaddishim? Oh, that says the Gemara. No, hi, imay. What are you saying? If you're saying like we're saying, which was the proof for Rabbi Yechanan, that what's the case, is Rabbi Shimon saying that if it's Yetzer Daifen, then olu is still going to be Yerdu, it's talking about by Kaddish and by regular Karbanas. So that's why we need to have two Pesukim. Yeah, we need to have the Pasuk of Imay, which tells us that Kaddish and Yetzer Daifen is the same as Bechar, which is Chulin if it's Yetzer Daifen. It's not the firstborn, so it's not going to be Kaddishim if it's born through Caesarean. And we need the Pasuk that Rabbi Shimon brings down of Zeis. Why? Why do you need two Pesukim? One is to say, which is the general pasuk of imay, is to say that a regular unconsecrated animal that was born through Caesarean and then it was sanctified. So from imay, we're saying, okay, you can make it into a carbon. It wasn't born through the rechem. It's born through the Caesarean wall. But then we need zayis lebehemes kaddishim de'ole derech daifin. We need to have it. It was already sanctified before it was born. And then it was born through Caesarean section, where there, obviously, if the child is being born, is automatically sanctified as the laws of Lat Kadshim as being the child of a carbon. It was already sanctified in utero. So that's what you need Zayis to exclude, to say, even though you write it sanctified, but it's not going to have a sanctity for the Mizbeach. We're going to say him Olu Yerdu, because ultimately its psul was not Bakoidish, although it became sanctified, but its invalidation wasn't because you did something wrong. It was intrinsically voided already from the fact of how it was born. Because this Tana holds that the children of Karbanis, they become sanctified in their birth. Havaya means when they come into existence. When they're born, that's when they become sanctified. Which actually Rashi says not to have this text, because that would be actually seem to be mistaken, because to the contrary, all the more so the one who says that the sanctity actually starts in formation in utero as an embryo, in the mother's stomach, that's actually where it would be more logical to say that you need Zeus takes good. That even though here it is sanctified, yeah, the first one in general, Imay, that's when it wasn't sanctified. It was born through Zeus takes, and then you want to sanctify it. That's being excluded from Imay. But even if we want to say that it's sanctified, which Tais actually explains that that is actually what the Gemara means to say. It's by both cases. It's even by if you hold the Havayasna in Kedoshim. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is essentially trying to say. Here, even though there is a sanctity, still, we're going to say that it's invalidated because it's not psul makodesh. It doesn't become invalidated. Something you did something wrong. A psul did the kabbalah, or the blood went out of the where it was supposed to be. No, it was already problematic before you even started the avodah. So therefore, that's what you would need zeis to exclude. And therefore, again, that's why we're saying that it must be talking about the kachim. Because Eliyamid de Bechar, but if it's you want, let's say, like to reject the raya that no, the Yetzer Daifin that we're excluding, that we say even if it goes up, you have to take it down from the Mizbeach is the firstborn animal, that we know everything already, that it has to be the first thing. If it doesn't come out from the first thing from the utero, from the vaginal area, so then it's nothing. It's not sanctified at all. So obviously, we're talking about the case of Kaddishim where it could have some sanctity even if it comes through the Daifin, because it was a Vlad of Kaddishim, which by Bukhar you don't have. The Bukhar itself has to be Petarechim. If it doesn't, there's nothing to talk about. And therefore, says the Gemara, it is a Raya, like we said, for Bi'echad. The Gemara says, Hachanam B'Shab, it's actually logical to say, like we're saying over here, that all the category that Reb Shimon invalidates, that says even in Olu, that you're going to have to take it down, is told by, like we're explaining, Behemis of Kaddishim, meaning that it has a Kedushas Aguf, unlike Bukhar. Bukhar, if it's invalid, if it's not through the Rechim, there's nothing to talk about. But we're talking about those that are kachim, they have a physical sanctity, but they're not having a physical sanctity that's valid for being brought on top of Mizbech. Why? Midigtani, from the fact that we learned, what was that category that we said, even if it goes up, you have to take it down? Hareveya, if it sodomized a person, Vanirvav got sodomized by a person, this animal, Vamuktsev was designated for Vedazar, Vanevet was worshipped as a Vedazar, Vaklimov was a mixed breed, which, how do we have all these cases that it's kaddishim? It is sanctified, but still, it's not even psul by kodesh. It's invalidated by itself, and therefore, it's even in olu yerdu. It's like, for example, by the case of reveya v'nirva. How do you have reveya v'nirva? Is like if it became sanctified and then it was sodomized. So it has a sanctity, but it wasn't psul by kodesh. By mukta neberosa, if it was designated or worshipped by dezara. How could it become Aser? If it's already sanctified, you can't make it Aser. You can't worship it by the Zara, which is your designation. That could be like by Kajr Kalam, according to Rabbi Yisai Glili, that he says that it's actually owned by the owner. So, although it's already sanctified, it's Kachim Kalam, but he can make it forbidden, as the Gemara explains this in the last paragraph in Zvacham, Daf Kovidal Madal. So, to Esnan Amachir, if this animal is in exchange for relations with a Zaino or for the purchase of a dog, when he gives her, he's giving her a fetus of an animal of Kachim Kalam for this gift of Esna. And he holds that Baba Yasin Hinkadashim. They become sanctified when the animal is born, not before that. So therefore, since it's not fully sanctified yet, the Isra of Esna Mechir could take effect because he's giving it to her now when it's in utero. And then, but the sanctity more automatically takes effect by itself because it ultimately is a Vlad Kachim and therefore it's going to be sanctified. So you could have a sanctity, but still a sanctity that's not valid for the Mizbeach. So too, climb if it's a mixed breed, or if it's a trait of a mortal defect, or if it's Yetzer Daifin, how do you have that also? It's like we said, Bivlod is Kaddishim, that they're already problematic in the utero, right, when it's born, but it's still automatic, it can be sanctified. So that's what the Gemara is coming to say, that it's logical that we're saying, that we're talking about Kaddishim, and therefore, you're going to need to have these two psukim like we were explaining. Why? For the fact that we said the cases of Hareveya Vahanirva, and we're coming to say that Reb Shimon says, oh, how do we know in Olu Yerdu that we're going to take it down? He says, oh, we're excluded from the Pasuk of Zeis, where it says, but there's Zeis, although Tyrus is including, but Zeis is excluding. He's saying, no, these and not others. Says the Gemara, Hani Mahacha Nafka? These, Reveya, Nirva, Mukta, Neva, Klaim, all these categories, are we excluding it from here, from Zeis? Mahasam Nafka, we exclude them from other Psukim. The Pasuk says, Adam Kiyakav Mekem, a man that's going to sacrifice from you, Min HaBehema, from the animals. Min HaBehema means, and not all the animals, from, but not all. That's Lahitzi HaReveya Menirva, that's excluding if it's sodomized or was sodomized, not valid as a carbon. When the pasuk continues min habakar from the cattle, again all these froms are saying not all is lahitzias an evet that excludes if it was worshipped as a vaydazar. Min hatsayim from the flock is lahitzias a muktzah that excludes if it was designated for vaydazar. Then it doesn't just say min hatsayim, it says u min hatsayim the vav and from the flock is lahitzias negech is to exclude that if it gored and it killed a person. Now the case of reveya nirva and negech must be talking about that it was testified by one person or by the owner. Where if he admits to it, he's exempt. The animal's not going to be forbidden for everyone, so therefore it's going to be permitted for the person himself. But for Hashem, since ultimately we know, either through one witness or through the owner, it's going to be also to be brought as a carbon, because if it is actually testified by two witnesses, the animal actually has to be stoned, and then it's going to actually be also not even for the person himself. But here that we're saying that's problematic for a carbon is that either the owner admitted or that one witness testified, which is regarding Isser. Vesu moreover, so these we know from other psukim, not from Zeis. We know it has no sanctity whatsoever. Vesu moreover, klayim hachanafka. Are we learning out to exclude klayim, a mixed breed, from being, let's say, even alu yerdu, that it's not going to have sanctity for the mizbeach from this word of Zeis? Masim nafka. We know from a different source. Pasuk says shar echesa bayez, an ox or a lamb or a goat. That you could bring for your carbon. So it says shayr, and as other gear source add on the word eicheseb, or the lamb, that's prat l'klaim. That excludes if it's a mixed breed from a combination of a goat and a lamb. It has to be either one or the other, excluding klaim. When it says eiez, or a goat, it's prat l'nidma. It's excluding that which appears to be something else. If, let's say, both its father and its mother are goats, but it looks like a lamb, that these are all excluded. So since we're excluding from those psukim that they're not sanctified, so we know they're like chulin. So why do we need over here this pasuk of Zayis to say, oh, they're excluded and you're going to have to take them down? Of course they're chulin. Ela rather, says the Gemara, proving this point. Istuchu trei kra, you need to have these two psukim. Chad lebehemas chulin, one, which was all the sources that we brought before, is when they were unconsecrated. This, roiveya, nirva, mukta, nevet, all these cases, they were chulin. And then you sanctified them. That's what I'm saying. No, they can't sanctify them. They're not valid. We're excluding them from the behema, menatzayin, and so on and so forth. But v'chad lebehemas kadoshim. One, this source of zayis is going to exclude even if they were sanctified, as we explained before, how it's possible for them to be sanctified and then become forbidden. Ah, so hachanami here also by the case of yitzadayfin, itzruch treikra, you need to have two psukim. Again, because if it was by Bechart, you wouldn't need two psukim. You need to have two psukim, and again, and therefore that proves that we're talking about by Kaddishim, that it does have a sanctity, but it's still going to be excluded from having the sanctity for being brought on top of Mizbeach. And again, therefore, that solidifies the proof that we said for Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Shimon himself does agree, although he says that by Yitzhak Devon, by Yeled, this is considered a Leida for regarding Tumah and Karbanas, but it's not going to be considered a Leida regarding Kaddishim, it's not going to be valid as a Karban. Now, continuing on this theme of the Machlekes of our Mishnah regarding if it's born through Yitzhak Devon, so turn about and learn the brisa. Hamakasha shleisha yom. If a woman is in labor pains for 3 days during the 11 days of her days of ziva, and she sees blood all those 3 days that are coming through the vaginal canal, through the area of where the baby usually comes out. Now, but v'yatzav la derech doifen. The child, it doesn't end up being born through a natural birth. It's rather born through cesarean sections, through the abdominal wall, through her stomach. Says the Tanna Kama, so harizu yulad this bezaif. Therefore, she's considered a woman who gave birth in the state of ziva. She's a zava. Because when did the Torah say that she's not going to have a tumah of ziva? If she has blood during the labor pains, that's only when she gives birth, a bona fide birth, through the normal vaginal birth. But if it comes through the abdominal wall, that's not considered birth, and therefore that's not going to exempt the blood of the yimei ziva, and therefore she'll be a zava. But Reb Shimon Ami says, no, ein zeyled is bezaif. No, that's not considered a woman who gave birth in the state of ziva, because Reb Shimon goes according to his reasoning that he says that yetzidayf, and if it's born through cesarean, it's considered a bona fide birth and a regular birth. If you're having labor pains, even though it's 3 days of blood in the mei ziva, it will purify it, and as we learned in the previous daf, will not have a halach of tumah of zava. Now, continues the brisa, b'dam hayyetzim misham, and blood that comes out from there, which I'm going to explain what's there. So the Tanakama says, tameh. And Reb Shimon says, it's tar. So the Gemara explains. Bishlam Ereish, we understand there's two halachas that they're disputing here in this Braisa. So Bishlam Ereish, we understand the first halacha, well, that's Reb Shimon L'tamei. That's Reb Shimon that goes according to his reasoning that he says in the Mishnah that a woman gives birth through Caesarean. She's going to have the days of Tumah, even if it's a dry birth, simply because it's a Leda. And she'll have the Yimei Tara also, obviously because he considers it as a bona fide child as for the laws of birth. So therefore, the same thing will be also regarding if she has labor pains, that once the child is born, is also going to be considered as a Leda, which then that will purify through the labor pains, the Tumen, she won't be considered as a Zava. But Rabban L'Tameu, Rabban go according to their reasoning, as we explained, they don't consider a Leda, and therefore it's a irregular Zava. El Seifa b'may pligi. But says the Gemara, the second halacha, what are they disagreeing about? In other words, you can't read it like it literally would seem to translate, that it's talking about that the blood that comes out with the child, from the place where the child's born, meaning through the abdominal wall, that blood will be tame, like the dam of the Leda, because if that would be the case, then their opinion should be reversed. Reb Shimon should be the one saying that it's tame, because he said that's considered a child. So this is the blood of that's tame. The Chacham should say that's going to be tar, because it's not dam Leda, it's not a Leda. Rather, obviously, even according to Reb Shimon, it's not dam Leda, it's like the dam of a makah, it's like the blood of a wound that she has in her stomach. Now, this Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah, but if a woman gives birth through Caesarean, through her abdominal wall, that she'll have Yimei Tumah, that's simply because of the halacha of having a child, not because of the blood that comes out of it. So then what are we talking about over here? This machlek is that the Chacham are saying that it's going to be Tameh, the blood that comes out of Veer, and Reb Shimon is saying that it's going to be Tar. So Ravini says, we're talking about where the child comes through Caesarean, through the abdominal wall, but as you continue to Medbeis, V'dam Derech Rechem, but the blood is coming through the vaginal canal. And we're talking about blood that she was bleeding for 3 days of labor before giving birth. Oh, so therefore that makes sense. That's what Shah means. Both of them are going according to their reasoning. The Rabban say that she's going to be considered as a Ziva because the child does not, quote, purify her and say, oh, it was laid, and therefore it's not going to be considered 3 days of blood in the Mea Ziva because they hold it's not considered a Leda. Shimon says it's going to be pure from being Mitamihar, because since it is Yimei Ziva, and the Dam of Kaishi in Yimei Ziva, the Torah says that's going to be Tar. It's only Yimei Nida that's going to be a problem. And therefore that makes sense for their opinions. But Maskev Risa asks on this interpretation of Ravina. Says, Chada, first of all, well then the Hain Ereisha, this is the exact same thing as the Ereisha. Although one's talking about the blood, one's talking about the woman, but they're both saying, is she going to become a Zava or not? So it's the same thing. What would be the purpose of having the second Machlekes? Moreover, he asks, Misham, and says from there, Mokam Vlad Mashma, what's there? We're talking about the child's born through Caesarean. We say, oh, blood comes from there. What, that means from the vaginal area? There seems to be the place where the child's born, which is through the diaphragm, which is not like the interpretation of Ravina. So Elam of Yeser, rather, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Kagun Sheyotza Vlad Vidam Derech Diaphragm. You're right, we're talking about that the child and the blood that we're talking about are both coming through the abdominal wall. And it's a different machlek. It's not going on as Ravina was interpreting this Toma regarding Dam Kaishi, because the Reisha was talking about when the blood comes through the vaginal canal before the birth. He was not talking about that. We're not talking about Dam through the Rechem that's coming before the birth and regarding the Kaishi being Metahir, the Dam. No. Toma that both the blood and the child are coming through the abdominal wall. What's the machlek is? Ubimakar, Mekoyme Tome Kemifli, regarding the uterus, which is the place in the woman's body where the child develops, or that's where the menstrual blood is, that's where the child is. Mekayme Tame Kemifuki, is that place a place of contact of Tumah? That's their machlekes. Nar, their abundance are where they held Mekayme Mekayme Tame. The uterus in place itself is Tame. So therefore, the drop of blood is going to be Metame, the woman. Meaning, although you're right, the blood that's coming through the abdominal wall is not, quote, a re'iya, of dam to make the woman tummy as a nida to be tummy for 7 days, because that has to come through the rechem. But the drop of blood itself is going to contaminate the woman when it touches her. Why? Because that blood, where's it coming from? It's coming with the child. Where's the child from? In the uterus. The uterus itself is a place that contaminates. So that blood became tummy, which is avatama, which is contaminating the woman as it leaves her. That's why they're saying that she's going to be tummy. Reb Shimon held that no, makar mekayme tar. The uterus itself is not a source of tumah itself to contaminate the drop that touches it to then contaminate her. So therefore, since the blood is coming through the abdominal wall, so it's going to be being pure from bimetame har, because it's like blood that a person gets a cut anywhere in their body. So therefore, truth is, even when it comes either one through the abdominal wall, it's going to be tar, or if it comes through the vaginal canal, he also holds it's going to be tar when it's during the meat of her ziva, when there's no calmness stopping labor pains before birth, because again, he holds that it is considered a leida, and the child purifies her, because this is even if the child's coming through the abdominal wall, he holds that's considered a leida, and therefore that would still purify the blood. So according to Reb Shimon, either place where it comes out, the blood's not going to be a problem. But again, the machlik is regarding coming through the abdominal wall. Do we say that the fact that it touched the makar, the uterus, is that going to make the blood tummy to be metame the isha? However, Amar Shlakish, he disputes this interpretation, thus giving a different interpretation. He says, no. L'divrei hametami b'dam, according to Rabbanon, who they're saying in the second halacha, that the blood is going to be tamei, so therefore actually metame b'isha. Actually, that opinion is going to hold, the Rabbanon is going to hold, that the woman is also, not just the blood is tamei, but the woman is also tamei as a bona fide nida for 7 days, as a re'ia of dam of nida, not because of the makar mekami tamei. So although the blood's coming not even through the vaginal canal, it's coming through the abdominal wall, that's considered like the menstrual blood, just like when it comes through the canal. So too, when it comes, it's coming from the same place, although it's coming from the abdominal wall. Now, Divrei Hametar B'dam, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the blood is going to be tar, but tar b'isha, he says that the woman's also going to be tar. Not only is the blood not tamei, the woman's also not going to be tamei. So therefore, he extends it and he says that no, the Rabbanan are not just saying the blood's tamei, to be metamahar like for touching it, but only for 1 day. No, it's actually going to be metamahar for 7 days like a nida. But Rabbi Yechonim, he disputes that point of Rish Lakish. He says, no. After the divya metamahar b'dam, even according to Rabban, who say that the blood is going to be tamay, as we're saying for this, let's say the halacha mekayim mekayim tamay, mitahar b'isha. They say the woman is not going to be tamay as a nida. And says the Gemara of Azra Rabbi Yechonim tamay, Rabbi Yechonim goes according to his reasoning mentioned elsewhere. Dom Rabbi Yechonim, says, Mishum Rabbi Shim ben Yechi, says, Menayin she'in isha tamaya. I don't know what's going to be tamei as a nida until her madve, her impurity, meaning her dam nida, goes through derech avas to the place of her genital area of the vaginal canal. Kishanema says the pasuk in the yikra. It says v'isha sheyishka v'isha dava. If a man's going to lay with a woman that's a nida, so he has a halacha of tumah of nida also, which is called the bayil nida. Now the pasuk used the words v'gila eser avasa. He reveals her nakedness. Es mekayre hera, her source, he has uncovered, and we're talking about the laws of nida. So we see the woman's not considered tamei as a nida until the impurity goes through the area of her nakedness, and he's uncovering that. That's the nida. You see that it's from the place of the vaginal canal. That's where a woman becomes a nida, comes to the abdominal wall, does not. And therefore he disputes her shluck, because she says, no, Quentra Rabban, who says that makar makar metame, that it will be metamahar because it comes from the uterus, is only the blood being tamei, but not the woman. The woman's not going to be considered a nida. There, it has to come through, according to everyone, in Quentra Rabbanan, through the vaginal canal. Now, continuing on what we mentioned before regarding the halacha makar makar metame, so the Gemara continues on that theme. Amar Shlakish Mashim Reb Yehuda Nesiya says that if there's a piece of flesh from the makar, from the uterus, sheneker, that comes dislodged from the woman's uterus, which is one of the internal organs in the woman's body, and the piece of the flesh comes off, and it falls on the ground, meaning it comes through her body and falls on the ground. Says Reb Yehuda Nesiya, Tameya, so the woman's going to be tamei. Why? Shnem the pasuk says nicheskel. It says yan hi shafech nechushtech, because it spilled out your bottom, I mean the bottom part of a woman, which is her uterus, which is on the lower part region of her body, and it says v'tigli ervasech, and your nakedness has been revealed. So you see that even though it was dislodged and it fell to the ground, it's still called erva, as if it's still in its place, and therefore it's going to contaminate even though it became dislodged. Says the Gemara B'lamai, for what are we saying that this uterus is going to contaminate? That the piece of flesh that got dislodged and fell to the floor. If it's to say that the woman who had this piece dislodged from her is going to be tummy for 7 days, like a nida, because, yeah, she dislodged from the uterus from her. But Dama Merchman, Terry says the blood has to come out from the uterus, out of her body, that has to flow out. But not a piece of her uterus itself, that won't make her into a nida. Ella rather says the Gemara L'tumaser, it means that she's going to be tummy for the evening, because the uterus, which has tuma, touched her as it left her, and therefore she'll be tummy up until the evening like an avatuma, but not 7 days like a nida. A similar type of discussion in halacha, Rabbi Yochanan, he says, makar, the uterus, shezia kishtei tiber margulis, that it's sweat, like two droplets like that are like pearls. Meaning, from the uterus, there's liquids that come out, and there's blood that's white and clear, that two droplets that came out of the uterus, so to me, the woman's going to be tamei. Says Gemara Lamai, what are we saying she's tummy for? Elim of Tumah Shiva, if that will consider a need and should be tummy for 7 days, but Chamisha Dam Tumayim B'Isha B'Sulay. There's many different types of liquids that come out of a woman's uterus, but only 5 types of blood, even bloods, not all of them are tummy. It has to be certain 5 colors and not more. So here where it's white, for sure it's not going to make her into Nida. Elabeth says the Gemara, like we mentioned, the previous halacha l'tumas erev means that she's tummy until the evening because these droplets touched the uterus and thus making it into ava tumah, and then it touches her. Therefore, she's going to be tummy for until the evening, like touching any source of tumah. Now, it says the Gemara, v'davka tartav, it's only if it's 2 droplets of ochad. If it's 1, imer ma'al ma'asi, then I'll say that actually it didn't come from the inside of the uterus, but rather from the sides of the uterus, which that would make it only into like a rishon, which wouldn't make her tummy, and therefore, in that case, then we'll say that she's still tar. Now, the Mishnah said, continue on to the laws in general of Nida, kol anoshim mitamim beveis achitzin. All women, regarding the laws of Nida, they become tamei already when it's in the outside room. I mean, the uterus itself is considered the inner room. When it's in the outside room, which is the vaginal canal, already then she's going to be tamei. Which the Gemara qualifies, hainu beveis achitzin. What's considered the outer room, although it's not even out of her body yet, as we said from Bivsara, but once in the outside room she's already tamei, what's that considered? She says, kol shetinekis yeshevis, whatever you have when the little girls sit down, and then the way they sit is that it opens up their vagina a little bit, and veneris, and that can be seen, although it's not out of her body totally, that's considered the outer room. If it gets to there, the woman's going to be considered nida. However, on that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which he's saying this in the way of a question, he says, but I say, makim, that place that you're describing, can that be qualified as bivisara, in her flesh? That's considered totally out of her body, although it's still in her body, but it's essentially out of her body, even regarding the touching of a sheretz. With halacha is that a sheretz to be metame, a person, if it's in contact with the person, does not contaminate when it's what's called besa sesarim, in the concealed area. Now the halacha is that that place, galuhu etzel sheretz, is considered a revealed place. If a dead sheretz touches a girl over, a woman over there, it's going to be considered to be metame her. Now, the laws of Tumah Beis HaSarim, the Gemara learns out later on, from a pasuk, where it's not going to contaminate if it's in a concealed area, but how could you say that that's in her body? If a sheretz is going to be tameh over there, that's obviously not in a concealed part of her body, that's like out of her body. So that can't be what we mean by Beis HaChitzen. It must be even somewhere more internal. So Elam HaBichon, Rather HaBichon says, he says, Ad Bein HaShenayim, until what's, quote, between the teeth. There's teeth-like protrusions in her vaginal canal that are like these small strips of flesh. That's the area that already there it's going to be considered beveis achitzin, which even though it's more recessed than the area described by Rish Lakish. Now, Bailo, the following question: Bein hashinayim, the area of between the teeth itself, that area itself, kelefinim oy kelechutz, is that like more inside, which, oh, that's not already beveis achitzin, that's still going to be tar? Or is that like the outer part, which is already going to be tummy? So says the Gemara, Tashem Alts being a right, because the Tanya of Zakar. Zakar taught a brisa. He says, Ad Bein HaShinayim. It's up until the teeth. Now, Bein HaShinayim Atzman Kilifnim, but the area that between the teeth itself, that's already considered like more inner, and therefore that's going to be tar. It's not considered yet Beveis HaChitz. It has to be beyond the teeth. So although it's not even the place when the girl sits that one could see, but that's already considered Beveis HaChitz, and that's considered Bifsara, that the Gzeres HaKasav tells us that she's going to be already considered as a Nida. Now, b'masnitatan, in the Bryce, we learned a different interpretation. It's mokum disha, the place of, quote, threshing, which is threshing, would you take a wheat kernel and you break off the shell, but it's done with breaking it off. It says, my mokum disha, what's the place of threshing? So Rabbi Huda, and this is a euphemism, it's mokum shashamash dosh, it's a place where the male member threshes, which is a similar type of a concept, which that as far as the male member gets, that even though that's internal, that's considered beveis achitzin, and the woman would be considered as a nida. Tanur Malon, the Braisa, elaborating on this halacha that we're mentioning from our Mishnah, says in the pasuk, if blood's going to flow bivisara, in her flesh, so that teaches us that she becomes tamei inside, internally, as if it was external, because it's saying in her flesh. Now, vainly elanida, I would only know this applies to the laws of a menstruating woman, because that's what the pasuk is talking about over there. Zaviminayin, the laws of Ziva, which, although it's the same blood, but it's different halachas and comes in different days, how do we know there it's also going to be tamei even if it's still beveis achitzin? Tamalema zaiva bevsara, the pasuk over there says that it flows in our flesh. So although the pasuk there is tamat nida, but from the fact that the terminology used was zaiva, we learn that the law of Ziva. Pileta shech vazerminayin, how do we know the same law applies to if a woman emits the male semen from her body, that when she becomes tamei, that is even there it's going to be beveis achitzin? Tamalem yeah. The pasuk says yia zayv b'sari. It will be flowing in our flesh. The extra terminology yia is coming to include even when she emits shechva zera. Now, Reb Shimon Leimer, he disagrees in this last halach. He says no, da'i kaboyla. The woman is going to be sufficient to be metamahar as the man who had relations with her. Where that's where the shechva zera is from. It's from the male, and the female then emits the seed later. She expels the seed later on. The source is from him. She's not going to be more severe than him. Just like the man who has relations with her does not contaminate with his shechva zera until it actually is totally removed from his body, because a balkeri, which the man who had a similar mission, is not metam until it comes out of his body, like the pasuk says, "Vashatetz him in the shechva zera." The semen has to come out of his body. So he says, also to her, unlike her ziva and her nida, the shechva zera is not going to be metam her until it actually totally comes out of her body. Now, this halacha, the Gemara asks, is that really so? Reb Shimon holds that's sufficient for her not to be any worse than her bayil, and that is her too, Sheikh Vazar, not going to be tamahar when it's coming out of her body until totally out? But Ratanya learned the braisa. Pasuk says, that if a man's going to lay with a woman, a copulation of a seed, having marital relations, so the halacha is, so they have to bathe themselves in water, but tamahar, so they immerse themselves, and then they tell me up until the evening. Amr B'Shimon, he says, "V'chi ma bazel lelamdeinu? What is this pasuk coming to teach us?" Which is the halacha that, in general, if they have relations, there's a tumah of shechva zera, and therefore they have to immerse themselves and become pure in the evening. Now, if it's regarding that he has to immerse himself in the mikvah, and that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us, we don't need that, because it already says in the previous pasuk, "V'ishki seitzim in the shechva zera." If a man has semen that comes out of his body, so it says, "V'rachetz b'mayim," has to bathe himself, and when he's having relations and there's semen over here, of course he has to bathe himself. If it's going to teach us that, so that the woman has to immerse herself in the mikvah, but what does that mean? Imla in nageya, if it's because the shechva zera touched her flesh on the outside when they were having contact, b'shechva zera with the semen when it came out of him, sorry, k'far nemalamat. The pasuk already says later on in Parashas Emor, Mikachav Beis, says, oy ish, asher teitze, or a man that will come out from him, which the Gemara tells us later on, the Mem Gimel Mabez, that how do we know if someone touches shechva zera, not the man who came out from, someone else touches shechva zera, it's going to be tameh, says, oy ish. So obviously we learn that from there, so the woman's touching it on the outside of her body, so we know that she's going to have to immerse from there. So Ella, rather, says Reb Shimon, it's coming to teach us that even if the shechva zera didn't touch her basar from the outside, like Keri, she's going to be tameh because of the drop during relations. And we had to say that she's going to become tameh. Because if we didn't say, we wouldn't have known this. Why? As we mentioned this halacha before. This is tameh in a concealed area. But tameh based on sasarim, ain't a tameh. Generally, tameh that's contacting a person in a concealed area doesn't contaminate the person. But that's what we're saying. It's a biblical decree that she's going to become tummy. And that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us through the act of copulation of seed. But one thing, says the Gemara, we see is that we don't say, according to Reb Shimon, that she's dayak baila, not to be any worse than a baila, because here we see that she is becoming tummy when it is inside, when it is concealed, and it's not only when it comes out. Says the Gemara, lekash, it's not difficult. Why? Kan b'mishameshes. Here we're talking about when they're having relations. Yeah, that's exerus akasiv, which is even if it's inside, but not when she's emitting seed. Kan b'peiletes. Here, when we said during Reb Shimon, it's specifically when it comes out, is when she's emitting the seed at a later time. Now, the Gemara wonders, peiletes. You're talking about a woman that's having the seed that was in her body coming out, but then it should be sufficient that even before it comes out, that she will be tameh because of the Hashimsha. How does she have this seed from the male? From relations. She became tameh from relations, which is inside. So what are you saying by peletes that it's only when it comes outside? Says the Gemara, no. B'shutavla shimusha. We're talking about where she already immersed herself for marital relations, for copulation of seed. But tomorrow, the seed came out. That's where Reb Shimon tells you that daya kabayla, that she's only going to tameh when it actually comes out of her body, not when it's beveis achitzen. Says the Gemara, the memory of the Mishamesh, is that to say that regarding when the woman has marital relations, but Tumas Erev Sagila, that then it's sufficient to be tummy only up until the evening, and then once she goes to the mikvah, then she's tar, and therefore she's only going to subsequently become tummy when the seed is coming out, and then it's only when it's going to come fully out? Vama Rabba says, Misha Mesha is a woman who had relations called Shleisha Yom Masru Lechem B'Truma. For the next 3 days, she's forbidden to eat Truma. Why? She EF Shalosh Shalay Tiflet. It's not possible that for the next 3 days, she's not going to be emitting seed. So since all 3 days, she's forbidden because of relations. So then how do we understand Reb Shimon's halacha of Dai Kabayla? That, okay, she's not going to be tummy from Bailat the Shalazar until it actually comes out. If it's after 3 days, then even if it totally comes out, she's mitar. Because Shechva Zera's semen after 3 days is already putrid, it doesn't contaminate anymore. So what's the relevancy of Reb Shimon's halacha? She's tummy because of Mishameshes for 3 days. And if it's after 3 days, then it's going to be tar anyway when it comes out. So the Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Hachamai Eskina, what are we talking about here that Reb Shimon says that the woman is tahar because she already immersed herself because of the relations, and the only way she can become mitami now, let's say a day later, is because of the semen coming out of her, and then it's only if it totally comes out, is shitfilua b'mita. They immersed her in the mikvah when she was laying in a bed. And since she didn't move from her place from having relations, it's possible that none of the semen came out, and it's not going to come out. So once she immerses for the act of cohabitation, which is its own halacha, she's tar. Now the only problem is being pilot shech vazer, which is a different halacha. Oh, that's only when it totally comes out. Says the Gemara, but then mechlal, then the inference is, the chikama rab, when Rabba said it's halacha, that the woman is tummy for all 3 days, not like Reb Shimon, who's obviously going within 3 days, that she is tar, and Rabba says, no, the woman will be tummy for the next 3 days and cannot eat truma, is the azli ihi bekar v'tavla. Obviously, he must be told, where, no, she went by foot, not in the bed, and she immersed herself in the mikvah. Because if in the bed, then it wouldn't be coming out. So if that's the case, then why has Rabbi used the words, it's not possible that it's not going to be coming out all 3 days, which sounds like he considers her as a definitive tumah. But to the contrary, we should say actually that she has a cheskes of tahara more. Why? Because you could say, Dilma Bahadid de Ka'azla, maybe as she was walking and going by foot to the mikvah, Shadise, she threw it all out of her body and all of the seed came out before she immersed herself in the mikvah, and therefore she actually is not going to have it coming out for the next 3 days. Why is he saying that for sure she's going to be tummy? Now, as you continue to talk about Mbezim and Afachitim, if you're going to say, no, Dilma is dire, but still, maybe some of the seed is still left inside of her, and out of doubt, we're going to say she's tummy for the next 3 days. Again, after 3 days, there's no tummy anyway because it's already putrid, already spoiled. But if that's the case, and that's how we're going to explain Rava, so why is he saying, it's not possible? At the most, he should say that we're concerned and we suspect that maybe some of it is left over. Why is he saying, efshir? So Ella rather says the Gemara to explain as follows. You're right. La Rava Nami, according to Rava also, she didn't go by foot. Shetfilu b'mita, he's also talking about, even if we immersed her in the bed, it's still below kasha. How is it not difficult? How is Rava saying she'd be tummy for 3 days, even though she immersed her in the bed? And Reb Shimon saying, oh, there's going to be relevancy of Peleta Shech Vazera, which is only within 3 days, but she's tummy because of Tashmish. Oh, no, because she immersed herself in the mikveh and she's pure. Pure, but is seed coming out all 3 days anyway? So then she's tummy anyway, so what are you saying that she's tar? No, it's not difficult. Why? Kan b'mishapechas. Rav is talking about where she subsequently turned herself over. Oh, if she turned herself over, so she moved around. So if she's turning around, the seed's going to be coming out, even if they immersed her in the mikvah. So therefore, she can't eat truma the next 3 days. Kan Reb Shimon is talking about where he says you could immerse her for the relations and the seed didn't come out yet. It's talking about, for example, b'she'ena misapechas, where she didn't turn around after she immersed in the mikvah. She stayed still. She didn't turn over onto her stomach. She didn't turn around. Oh, so nothing came out. So therefore, she's tar, and it's only going to be tummy when it totally comes out of her body. Now, and Verava was coming to explain to us akroka. He was going on the pasuk. Rachman, this is what he was saying. Kikas of Rachman, when does the Torah tell us? That when they have relations, okay, then you immerse yourself in the mikveh and they only tummy up until the evening, which sounds like that they could immerse that same day and then become tar. Rav was coming to qualify and saying that's only b'she'inim esapeches, which was the basis of the explanation for Reb Shimon's halacha, when she didn't turn over. Didn't turn over, then you could become tar that day, and that's where Reb Shimon says, but let the shech vazer, within the next 3 days, although she's tar for tashmish, you could become tummy by emitting the seed. That's all that totally comes out of the body. But that's what Rav was coming to explain. But he said, but if she turned over, then then immersing in the mikveh is not going to help. Because all 3 days, we have to suspect that she's going to be emitting seed all 3 days. She's not going to be able to eat truma. She EF shalosh shalay tiflet. He says, because it's not possible, again, because she's turning around, it's not possible that she's not emitting any seed. and therefore it's not a contradiction. Rava with Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon halacha applies, yes, it's only when the Torah comes out, and Tashmish, yes, one could clean up in the evening. If one is in the bed and didn't turn around, no seed is going to be coming out. Tashmish was purified with the mikvah, and then it's only when the seed comes out. Rava was saying it's not relevant when it's mishapechas. When she turned around, okay, it's not relevant, it's going to be coming out anyway, and the woman can't be pure, even if she immersed in the mikvah, because all 3 days, for sure, seed is going to be continuously coming out. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that actually, Rava that said she's going to be tummy for all 3 days by mishapechas doesn't mean, like we were explaining, after she went to the mikveh, then she's turning over so the seed's coming out so it ruins the whole thing. No, it means that during relations she turned over on her stomach, and therefore the seed doesn't get absorbed in the uterus, in the vaginal canal in one place. So therefore, it's not in one place, it's going to be continuously coming out little by little by little all 3 days. Whereas Reb Shimon was talking about when she didn't move around during relations. So then the seed goes into one place and it's going to come out at one time, and therefore we don't say that it's going to be continuously coming out all 3 days, and therefore she could be considered pure by immersing the mikvah. And again, only when it ultimately comes out, not even the b'vayis achitzin, that's where he holds da'i kabayla, she'll only be tummy for palata shach vazara, but then it actually totally comes out of her body.